人生是一本书，每一段时光都是一段难忘的故事。
就让我们在此刻分享我们的故事。欢迎收听西雅图中文广播美国故事栏目。
美国故事栏目是由大中华实业有限公司 Great China Industries 赞助播出。
亲爱的听众朋友们，晚上好，欢迎收听西雅图中文电台美国故事栏目，我是小袁。今天我们非常有幸的请到西雅图中国俱乐部的主席 Bart White， 欢迎 Bart 先生。
谢谢你。
我们已有我们那个电台的雅秋老师担任这次节目的翻译，欢迎雅秋老师。
各位听众好，不过今天我听到巴特先生说普通话了，也许我不太需要翻译。
他说对，我的普通话是很差。
那我说的对，就是不需要翻译了。
那个以前有一句很有名的话，就是天不怕地不怕，就怕老外说普通话。
说错了，是就怕老广说官话。
So you understand, right?
一点。
那个Bart 先生，我们知道您担任那个西雅图中国俱乐部的主席已经有6年了。那么，您呢是一个土生土长的美国人。当初为什么想要创办？为什么想要加入这个中国俱乐部并担任主席呢？
我用英文回答。I became involved with the China Club through some friends of mine who invited me to join them. I found them to be a really interesting organization and good people that were very interested in China and had a great backgrounds and histories with China.
巴特先生说，他是一些朋友介绍他加入这个组织的，然后他发现那里的人很有意思，很好，而且跟中国有很好的关系，都很有趣。
So I became more involved. After a couple of years, I was invited to join the board. And when our president, current president, stepped down, I was elected president.
在经过2年比较密切的活动之后呢，他就被邀请进入了董事会。那么在当时的董事长就是主席要退位的时候呢，他就可能是竞选，但是也可能是被别人拉进来，就变成了唯一的候选人，这个我就不知道了。但是他就变成了主席，到至今已经6年了。
那我相信您能在这个中国俱乐部任职这么长时间，与中国一定有不可分割的一些情缘或者说情结。那您能跟我们介绍一下您对中国的情结是从什么时候开始的吗？
The reason why you would be the president for 6 years and be interested in being in this organization, there must have been some kind of reasons why you're so interested in China and the relationship between China and the U.S.
For that, we'll have to go back to when I was in college, and my grandmother really was the inspiration. She visited China in 1978, which, as I think everybody knows, was very, very early, only 2 years after Mao's death, and very shortly afterNixon went to China and opened relations with the U.S.
Yeah, 巴特先生说他在上大学的时候，他的祖母就到过中国，在1978年的时候，那刚刚是毛泽东去世2年，那么中国开始要开放的时候，所以是特别有趣的一段时间。
当时您的祖母年轻吗？还是？
How old was your grandma back then?
1978. She would have been in her late 70s.
Oh, really?
Wow, 她那个时候已经将近80岁了。
And she loved it. Came back with wonderful stories. She loved the Chinese people. She felt the country was going places. which inspired me. At that time, of course, Deng Xiaoping was coming into power and starting his open door policy. So I thought, well, I'll take a Chinese history course in college.
因为祖母的兴趣，祖母觉得中国是一个非常有意思的国家，人民很友善，而且这个国家好像是会有一个新的发展。那刚好就是邓小平开始开放这个国门的政策，所以巴特先生就决定要先修一门中国历史课。
The course was taught by Dr. David Deal at Whitman College. It was a very tough but fair professor.Very challenging, and I learned a lot. From that, I thought, okay, I'll continue with this. And that summer, I took an intensive Chinese language course at the University of Washington.
巴特先生先是在惠特门学院上了这个中国历史课，他说这位老师非常的严格，他学了很多。那么到了暑假呢，他又到了华大来学普通话，就是密集的普通话训练。
So doing that, one thing led to another. I finished college, kept an interest in China and the events happening there with Deng's open door policy, and got an opportunity between college and law school to go study Chinese in China at Inner Mongolia University, Neimenggu Dashui.In Huhe Haute.
That's 哪一年?
Which year was that?
八二年。
八二年。所以八二年的时候，巴特先生就得到了一个机会，在大学毕业还没有上法学院之间，到了呼和浩特，就是内蒙古的内蒙古大学去学习中文。
So at NEDA, this was very, in 1982 was also fairly early. Everybody wore Mao suits, men and women.There were two colors, or three colors, actually, blue, green, and gray. Children were the only color clothes you would see. And Huhe Haute had really not seen foreigners since essentially 1949. So when we first arrived, and there were only 12 of us, it was quite an experience. It was almost like being a rock star because people just, you get off the train and people just gather around you. That wore off fairly quickly, but it was a very interesting experience.
巴特先生说那个时候的中国还是非常的封闭，所以呢大家都是穿毛装，只能看到三个颜色，是灰色的、蓝色、绿色，所以除了儿童的这个童装以外呢，都是没有什么色彩的。那么他们十二位外国学生到了呼和浩特，也是被当作这个大明星一样的对待，所以对他们来说也是非常新奇的。虽然这个很快就过去了，这大明星没有当几天就结束了，但是那个时候是非常非常不一样的经验。
So this was a very interesting time in China's history. There were still the quotas for grains, the liang piao.You could not just go to a store and buy a bicycle. You had to get a bicycle assigned to you before you could even purchase it. For foreigners, we were only allowed to spend what was called Wai Hui Chuan, which was a foreign exchange certificate, which we quickly learned there was a black market for, because with the Wai Hui Chuan, you could buy a bicycle immediately.So our exchange rate was quite favorable.
巴特先生说在那个时候呢票证还是存在的，所以光是有钱不见得买得到东西，尤其是像自行车还需要有批准的，以后
会券
不是，是普通的老百姓还要有这个批准了以后才能购买。那他们外国人都是用外汇券，那外汇券呢就可以马上买到自行车，所以在黑市外汇券是很值钱的，他们的这个兑换率呢是很高的。Do you remember how much can one 外汇券 exchange for 人民币？
It varied. It started at about 1.1, 1.2, but as time went on, it got up to about 1.6.
哦，他说一开始的时候一块外汇券可以兑换1.1、1.2人民币，后来到了1.6人民币，那就是也蛮高了。
您在内蒙古大学留学期间最大的收获是什么？
收获。
What did you gain the most when you were studying there?
The thing I took away from my time at that period in time, period in history essentially now, was the beginnings of what you see in China now. The beginnings of an entrepreneurial spirit and activity, the beginnings of advertising instead of just big character political posters, the beginnings of small business, you know, juice stands on a corner, somebody realizing that if I carry your baggage or something like that, I could earn something.
巴特先生说他见证了中国的变化，在这个所有的变化的开始期间，包括了不管是这个做生意啦，或者是企业，还有国家的变化，都是那个时候在慢慢发生的。
然后您是不是去过很多地方，交了很多中国的朋友等等？
I did travel. I went from Nada, a friend of mine, we went all the way out to Xinjiang.
巴特先生跟他一个朋友从内蒙古一直到了新疆。
By train, mostly by either hard sleep or hard seat.
硬卧或者是硬座。
A lot of smoking on the train.
抽烟的人特别多。
But a lot of good conversation and looking out the window and seeing the countryside.
看风景啊，跟别的乘客聊天什么的。
We ended up in Urumqi, which was a fascinating place because of the Uyghur population. And the watermelon and grapes and raisins, just a very
Yang Ro.
然后他们到了乌鲁木齐，觉得那边的维吾尔人很有意思，那边的水果又特别的好。当然小袁是忘不了羊肉的。
And my friend's goal was to get to Tibet, Xizang. It was a closed area. At that time, you needed a travel permit. And were obliged to check in with the local police department whenever you arrived in a town. This is something we never did, but we didn't intentionally flout the law. We didn't know where the police department was. That said, Tibet was still difficult to get to, and we could not get into it. We tried a few times to hitchhike in unsuccessfully, and I had to part ways with my friend and head back because I was starting school in the fall.
巴特先生的朋友呢是想要到西藏，但是当时西藏对外国人是封闭的，要有旅行证才能够进入西藏。那么他们不知道，并且他们也不知道沿路，他们都必须到这外事警察局去报到，所以呢，他们就不知不觉的违法了。到了他们发现的时候，恐怕已经来不及了。所以他的朋友还想继续去新疆，但是巴特先生决定还是要回到内大去读书，不要继续向这个西藏前进了。
But I had some great, I'll call them adventures on the way back. I climbed Mount Huashan at night because you want to climb Huashan to see the sunrise.
Yes.
巴特先生去华山，晚上到华山上，然后早晨可以去看日出。他回来的路上有一些很有趣的旅程。
Which, if anybody gets the chance to see it, it's spectacular. Just a sheer granite cliff that has a fascinating history. Also, we stayed in a very small guest house on the top of Huashan, and they had a video. The title in Chinese was translated, "Taking Huashan wisely," and it was about the communists taking out Chiang Kai-shek's, Chiang Jiaxue's installation on top of Huashan.
That's interesting.
Barter 先生说他们在华山顶上呢住了一个很小的一个旅店，那个旅店呢有一个标语，就是说拿下华山，跟从蒋介石手里拿下华山，大概是这个意思。然后他们在悬崖峭壁上看日出，非常的壮观，非常的好看。
您那时候第一次中国之行有没有交一些朋友？然后这些朋友当中有没有至今还有往来的？
Did you make a lot of friends in China on that trip? And did any of them still keep in contact with you?
I did. I made some very good friends. Unfortunately, I've really lost contact with almost all of them. The one friend, my friend that I traveled, who was trying to get to Tibet, I will say about 3 or 4 years after I returned to the USA, I got a postcard from him. How he even found my address, I don't know. But the postcard read, "I've now been living in Lhasa longer than any foreigner since 1949. Look for my forthcoming book." I've never heard from him again.
巴特先生说他交了很多好朋友，不过到目前为止，大部分的这些好朋友都已经失去联系了，只有那一位跟他准备一起去西藏的朋友呢，过了大概4年以后，写了一个明信片给他，跟他说他现在是住在拉萨时间最久的一个外国人，1949年以后住在拉萨时间最长的一个外国人，并且叫他等着看他的第四本书，可惜到目前为止还没有看到那本书的出现。
还有那一次您的中国之行有没有特别惊险的然后至今难忘的故事？
During that trip, did anything happen that was really close to being very dangerous, not only adventurous, and you can still remember it vividly?
Just like a most impressive adventure?
Well, Huashan was interesting because climbing at night without a headlamp, and the steps were stone steps cut into the granite. It was kind of slippery, and apparently I was told there were a lot of deaths. In fact, foreigners were not allowed to climb Huashan. I rode the train out to Huashan with a group of students who were going to factory workers who were going to take a trip up Huashan. I arrived and tried to buy a ticket to climb the mountain, and the ticket seller refused to sell it to me because I was a foreigner. This group of students took me into town, and this was about 11 o'clock at night, knocked on the door of the local official, woke him up, got him out of bed, and said, "We'd like to take this guy up Huashan." And I'm going like, "Don't do this." But they insisted. And the official actually was quite fair, and he said, "Okay, he can go, but you need to leave your IDs with me, and he needs to leave his passport with me, and he has to come back tomorrow. He can't stay up there." So we agreed, and off I went. And we had a great adventure. I'll tell you, at the top of Huashan at that time, we crossed chain bridges and tiny, narrow wooden railings and things that were 2,000-3,000-foot drops, and they were fearless, and I just followed them.
我们广告之后再翻译好吗？
This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KVRQ 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
现在是美国西部时间晚上10点整，这里是西雅图中文电台。
声声有情。
1150 AM, 西雅图中文电台。
这里是您的信息中心。
这里是您的心灵港湾。
这里是您的精神家园。
西雅图华人自己的中文电台。
朋友们也可以在网上收听我们的节目， 收听网址是 ChineseRadioSeattle.com，
也可以通过智能手机下载 Chinese Radio Seattle 或者西雅图中文电台 APP 来收听我们的节目。
我们的高清调频频道是 FM98.9 Channel 3。
我们的微信平台、新浪微博和 Facebook 账号都是 Chinese Radio Seattle。
位于 Downtown Bellevue 的臭臭锅边上的大森林深融海味城 Asian Highway City， 服务专业，顾客至上，并有著名中医看诊。优质商品包括药材、中成药、参茸、海味、日用品等，应有尽有。您的健康最重要，请到大森林参茸海味城，地址1075 Bellevue Way Northeast Bellevue， 电话425-453-1688 425-453-1688。
如果您需要申请公民，或者对 DACA TPS 或对您的移民身份有疑问，请于2月3日上午10点到下午2点在西雅图中心展览大厅参加由西雅图市政府举办的西雅图移民及难民联合演习会，几百名律师、律师助理、翻译等将义务为您提供法律帮助。本活动对所有身份的人士免费，公民申请帮助请登录www.bit.ly/seattleunited2018 预约。需要移民服务的也欢迎直接入场参加。详情请致电206-386-9090。
老上海新天地，为 Bellevue 市中心的新天地餐馆上海上海，是一家精致而时尚的餐厅。这里的每一道佳肴都经过精心烹制和打造，给人以艺术的享受。人海之中遇见了你，一切变得有意义。遇见了轻轻地问一声，你也在这里？让我们相约新天地，电话425-453-2828 425-453-2828。
欢迎回来，这里是西雅图中文电台美国故事栏目。今天我们的嘉宾是西雅图中国俱乐部的主席巴巴法特先生。在广告之前呢，他刚刚饶有兴趣地跟我们介绍了他在攀登华山的一段奇遇啊。那么现在请我们的翻译雅秋老师把这个经历讲给大家听。
巴特先生说，他在中国最惊险的一次的旅行就是上华山了。那么他在半夜爬这个石头雕刻，就是在这个花岗岩上雕出来的台阶，很滑又很陡，是相当危险。那个时候外国人是不被允许去攀登华山的，但是呢他有一群朋友，是一群工人朋友，他们正要去攀登华山，所以呢这些朋友就决定带他去。那么在不被允许的状况之下当然是不行的，所以他们就去半夜敲开了当地官员的门，请这个当地官员给巴特先生批准他的旅行。后来这个官员呢也觉得蛮合理的，所以就让他们把身份证都留下来，让巴特先生把护照留下来，并且说你上山以后明天就得下来，否则的话你就不准上去。因此呢他也就同意了，他就跟着这一群工人朋友一起爬上去。他说山上非常的惊险，有铁索呀，有这个木头栏杆啊，所以一路上都是相当的惊险。当然这个都是值得的，因为日出实在是太美了，对吧？
巴特先生，您在中国的经历旅行对您后来在做那个中国俱乐部主席有没有帮助？
Yes, I think it, my experience there did help me with the China Club. It certainly gave me a much deeper appreciation of China and what's and the Chinese people and what's going on in China, and is the perfect background for my position with the China Club of Seattle.
巴特先生说他在中国的经历当然对他做这个中国俱乐部的主席有很大的帮助，因为他对中国的人民、对国情的了解、对文化的了解都很深，对这个职务有很大的帮助。
据我们了解，西雅图的中国俱乐部是定期举办比较高端的一些讲座，那么您给这个中国俱乐部的定位是什么啊？
You often have a higher end speech at the China Club like 5 times a year. So what's the, what do you think about those speeches or the lectures?
Well, we don't have a specific criteria for who will speak to us. We just look for what would be a timely or interesting topic and speaker. We have been extremely fortunate to get some really high-quality speakers, one of which was actually Xiaoyuan Su, who spoke to us about China Radio Seattle a couple of years ago.
Thank you, my honor.
巴特先生说他们并没有事先决定要选怎么样的人来做演讲，只是看当时有什么最合适的人，最有趣的人，所以他们到目前为止非常的幸运，请到了很多有意思的讲员，包括西雅图中文电台的台长苏小元先生，大概是2年以前吧。
I think my question is, what's the purpose and the identification of the club?
Well, to answer that, I'm going to step back in our history a little bit. Actually, a lot of it, because we're now 101 years old. We started in 1916. We were founded by 27 white business people. Julian Arnold was the founder, and he was the U.S. commercial attaché to China. He believed, I think quite, and it has proved to be correct, that Seattle was uniquely positioned to have a relationship, both commercial and culturally, with China, being the closest port to China.
巴特先生说，要回答这个问题，必须退回当初中国俱乐部成立的时候，当时已经是101年以前了。在1906年，他们有27位白人的1916年，对不起，101年以前有这个27位白人的企业家，他们就决定要成立这么一个俱乐部。那么当时的创办人，对不起，我记不得这位先生的名字，但是他的想法是很对的，就是说，西雅图是因为在中国跟美国之间是一个就是离中国最近的一个美国城市，所以对中国的不管是文化还是商业的这个关系都是最容易发展的，所以他们就从西雅图开始了这么一个中国俱乐部。
So this organization, which again, its origins were primarily commercial, began to evolve. And in the coming years, in the 1920s and 30s, it became less of a commercial organization and more of a cultural humanitarian organization. We funded scholarships for Chinese students to come and study in the USA. We encouraged the University of Washington to give scholarships to Chinese students. When China was invaded by Japan in the 30s, we stepped up our humanitarian aid in trying to get some relief to China. Then, of course, the Chinese civil war between the nationalists and the communists also occurred, and the China Club, I will say, essentially took a side, siding with the nationalists, again, trying to provide aid and contacts with the United States.
巴特先生说，在一开始的时候，中国俱乐部是以商业为主，但是到了20年代、30年代呢，就逐渐的发展文化的部分。那包括有一些的奖学金给中国的学生到美国来留学，那么也鼓励华大提供一些奖学金给中国的留学生。在后来就是日本侵华的时候，那中国俱乐部也给中国一些的援助。那么到了内战的时期，就是国共内战的时期，中国俱乐部决定就选边了，他选择的是 国民党的这边，所以跟共产党呢当时就并没有什么来往，而是跟国民党的这边政府比较有来往。那么就是49年以后。
And at this time, you know, the sentiment in the United States was obviously anti-communist, and we felt the nationalists would be a block to Soviet influence in Asia, and prevent the spread of communism further into Asia. So we backed them, and obviously unsuccessfully. But after that issue became settled and the PRC became established and firmly established, we continued to evolve. We worked with Warren G. Magnuson, who was a famous senator from Washington State.
在那个时候，当然，中国俱乐部他们是持反共的立场，希望让共产主义不要在亚洲发展的太快。但是他们在支持国民党政府一段时间，很明显的是并不成功。然后呢，中华人民共和国成立了，并且呢是很坚强的独立在世界上，所以中国俱乐部呢也跟着慢慢的演变。演变到后来，当时的 Warren
Magnuson，
他是当时的参议员。
Warren Magnuson， at this time there was a law in place in the United States called the Chinese Exclusion Act of 1882. It was in reaction to low-skilled labor coming over from China to build railroads and things prior to that time, and creating some anti-Chinese sentiment in the United States.
当时在1882年 1882, 有一个这个排华的法案，就是排除当时来美国做铁路工人之类的华工，那个时候是排华的一个情况。
We felt the law was discriminatory and unfair. It was the first law that actually targeted a specific ethnic group. It's a little bit relevant today, I think. So we lobbied against it, and ultimately Warren Magnuson passed what is called the Magnuson Act, which repealed the Exclusion Act.
那中国俱乐部觉得这个排华的法案是非常的歧视、不公平，针对某一个民族是非常不正确的，所以他们非常反对。也在当时，因为有这个 Warren Magnuson 他这一位参议员来反对这一个法案，所以后来呢就签了另外一个叫做 Warren Magnuson Act， 就是反这个排华的法案，就签署了，
就是取消这个排华法案的法案。
是反这个，就是取消，也是就是看这个法律上是怎么说，是
要吹笑
取消 cancel it out。
So and now with the PRC firmly established as the government in China, the Magnuson Act repealing the Exclusion Act, we as an organization continued to evolve, and we became much more of a inclusive organization, admitting women, prominent members of the Seattle Chinese community, and becoming primarily what we are today, which is a cultural organization.
那么在中华人民共和国越来越强大，然后这个中国俱乐部呢也逐渐的演变，他们的越来的越包容很多的不同的人，包括有男有女啊，然后现在的是文化方面的事情做的最多的情况，逐渐变成目前这个情况。
So our goal is to continue that atmosphere of inclusion, of having both mainland and local Chinese members. People with an interest in history with China, people with maybe a business interest in China, although we are not a really a commercial organization. We allow other organizations to take that role.
中国俱乐部的目标呢，还是要这个包容越来越多的不同的会员。那么他们包括了本地的华人、本地的美国人，还有中国来的人，在希望是对中国历史有兴趣的人能够参加他们的组织。文化方面是他们的重点，但是在商业啊，或者是企业方面有兴趣的人也一样可以参加他们的组织。
And I think I'll just give an example of who we have speak to us at our events. Hal Burton from the Seattle Times spent a considerable amount of time in China, actually in Mongolia, Inner Mongolia, researching China's coal industry and how that industry works in China, how it affects air pollution in China, and wrote a very series of articles in the Seattle Times, and he then spoke to us in depth about the background to his assignment and what he found. Fascinating stuff.
巴特先生也介绍他们的几位讲员，其中一位是 Hal Burton 先生，他曾经在内蒙古研究了煤的
他是西雅图时报的。
他后来在西雅图时报
发表很多的 Seattle Times.
Yes.
空气污染啊，煤矿啊，煤的这个发展啊等等的，他在中国俱乐部也做了很有深度的演讲。
好，我们再进一下广告之后。
肌肉骨骼伤痛、车祸、工伤，请找康健脊椎治疗中心肖明医师。康健，祝您健康。电话2066217501，2066217501。
热烈祝贺！
西雅图中文电台，
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 西雅图中文电台。
祝各位听众朋友新年快乐！
你知道西雅图有可能会经历大地震吗？灾难发生后，人们是否能够自己凭借自己的力量生存1到2周，是一个很重要的问题。那么，我们需要怎么样做，才能让自己更好地去准备应对突发而来的灾难呢？在家里存好应急货物，比如水和食物，因为地震发生之后，超市和交通系统可能会瘫痪。和自己的家人做好计划，比如如果你们走散了，会去哪里汇合，以及如何联系对方。帮助您的邻居，灾难过后以身边的人齐心合力团结起来尤为重要。想要了解更多的信息，请访问 seattle.gov/beprepared。
欢迎回到西雅图中文电台美国故事栏目的现场，今天我们的嘉宾是西雅图中国俱乐部的主席 Bob Fatt 先生对不起。那么爸爸呢担任那个西雅图中国俱乐部主席已经有6年，那么我们也知道他担任主席期间呢请了一些重量级的嘉宾担任那个他们定期举办的讲座的讲员，包括前驻华大使骆家辉，然后前毛泽东的翻译李登白叫 Sidney Rittenberg 等等啊，那么影响非常之大，而且那个品位或者说层次非常的高。
Yes, we've been extremely lucky to have so many good speakers from here and elsewhere, and I think that's one great thing about living in Seattle is that we.Have so many resources of people with expertise and interest in China.
巴特先生说，巴特先生的名字是 Bart Fight。巴特先生，他说他当然在西雅图这个地理位置，中国俱乐部是非常的幸运，能够请到这么多重量级的讲员，因为这里确实是一个非常有资源、有人才的一个地方。
And to give a few more examples.A real treasure that we have here is Kam Wing Chan, who's a professor out at the University of Washington. and is perhaps the leading, world's leading expert on China's hukou system, and also an expert on the what he calls the children left behind. And these are the children of the migrant workers who come from rural areas and go to the cities to try to make money and send it home, but they leave their children back in the villages. And there, he estimates there are approximately 100 million children, quote, left behind in this way. And
it's 留守儿童啊。嗯。
Which could be a huge social issue going forward.
是巴特先生说有一位Ken Wayne Chen 先生，他的 hukou system 是一个
户口
system， 就是中国的户口。户口呢有很多留守儿童，就是他们的家长，到了城里去找工作，去养家活口，但是孩子呢却留在了乡下，可能是自己生活，可能跟祖父母生活。那么这些小孩大概有一亿之多。
不，一百万。
What's the
one million, right?
$100 million.
$100 million? That's too much.
Well, there's 300 to 400 million migrant workers in China. And so the number of children is actually close to
100 million. 对，他们这些工人，如果是到，这叫什么工？农民工到了城里，
农民工进城，
对，他们有三四亿的话，他们的小孩有一亿，应该是一个合理的数字。
嗯。
And another one of our early speakers, was Jason Reed, who is a local documentary filmmaker, and he made a film called Manzo, Beijing to Shanghai.
Manzo?
Where
Guangzhou, right?
Manzo, like Man Manzo.
Man Manzo.
Man Manzo, okay.
Oh, 有一位 Jason Reed 先生，他做了一个纪录片叫做 Manzo.
He rode, he and his friends rode bicycles from Beijing to Shanghai.Starting just prior to the Olympics,
2008.
Yeah, 2008 Olympics.
2008.
I remember he said he thought, wow, everybody says Beijing's polluted, but the skies were all clear and blue when he was there, and he realized that was for the Olympics. But again, a fascinating program, really interesting.
这位 Jason Reed 先生，他跟他的朋友从北京骑自行车到上海，那是2008年奥运的时候。他说北京的空污非常的不严重，天空是蓝色的。后来才发现是为了奥运才这么干净。
And then one of our board members, Dongsheng Zhang, who's the head of the Asian Law Department at the University of Washington Law School, gave a fascinating, talk about China's legal system, and what it is now, what he thinks it will become, and you know, positive and negative.
有一位东山张先生，他是法律专家，所以他的演讲的内容就是中国的法律系统现在是怎么样，以后会又有怎么样的发展，他的好与不好吧，或者是优点与缺点都是些什么。
And as Xiao Yong mentioned, Sidney Rittenberg spoke to us. Sidney is a fascinating individual. He was in the Yan'an Caves with Zhou Enlai and Mao Zedong prior to 1949. And he was essentially their publicist to the West because he was smart. He obviously spoke English. And...He got the message out from Mao and Zhou Enlai to the West about what they were trying to accomplish there.
当然还有 Sidney Rittenberg，
就是李登白。
李登白他是毛泽东的翻译，但是他把周恩来跟毛泽东的一些话语传给了世界。
对，他一跟那个周恩来、毛泽东一起待过延安的窑洞。所以他也是那个，周恩来、毛泽东在国际上的一个
发言人，
发言人可以说。
Then Mimi Gardner Gates spoke to us about the Mogao Caves near Dunhuang, which are along the Silk Road they are a network of Buddhist caves that still have the original artwork that is they're trying to preserve and restore. Beautiful, fantastic pictures and paintings that is really one of the world's treasures. And I believe it is a UNESCO World Heritage Site.
Mimi Gardner Gates 也曾经作为他们的讲员。那 Mimi Gardner Gates 当然很有名，他不但是西雅图美术馆的馆长，而且也是我们最了解的这个比尔盖茨的继母。那么他讲的是丝路上的莫高窟的这些珍宝都是一些原始的，没有被破坏的，所以这个已经是世界遗产，世界文化遗产。
就是莫高窟还有一些保留的那个壁画，因为有很多壁画
已经遭到破坏了，
被运走了，但是那里还剩一些，但是它现在已经是世界文化遗产。
Then last year for our 100th anniversary, we had Gary Locke speak to us about a rising China. As most people know, Gary was the former ambassador, U.S. ambassador to China, and a former governor of the state of Washington, and the former commerce secretary under Obama.
去年在中国俱乐部一百年的纪念会上呢，请到的讲员是骆家辉先生。他是我们都知道曾经是驻中国的美国大使，也曾经是商务部部长，当然也曾经是华州的州长。
And our most recent program was really an entertaining program with the founders of the Seattle Asian American Film Festival, which actually will kick off in a few weeks here on February 22nd. Vanessa Au and Martin Tran and a couple other members from their organization spoke to us and showed film clips of the upcoming films, and really they've done a great job, and it's going to be a great event.
中国俱乐部最近的一个活动是1月19号的西雅图亚洲影片的影片展。那么这个影片展是非常有趣的，他们那一天呢就也给大家看了一些部分的影片。那么2月22号到25号之间有正式的影展。
他们是这个西雅图亚洲电影节的创始人是吗？They are the founder of the Asian Film Festival?
Yes, they founded it and keep it going and have done a wonderful job, and they had really great attendance last year and are looking for even higher attendance this year. They're going to have an opening night party and it should be a really fun thing.
是他们创立了这个亚洲电影节，而且呢，去年参加的人很多，今年应该会更多，他们是越来越好，很有意思的。
从您介绍的这些讲员，也就是您担任主席期间邀请到中国俱乐部进行演讲的这些讲员来看啊，就是他们的从文化上来说各个方面都有，而且规格非常的高。那您就是邀请嘉宾的时候，演讲嘉宾的时候的标准是什么？就是您是什么样的人才能够被您邀请？
He was asking about your criteria, but I remember you said that you didn't have any, so I was going to answer him no criteria,
没有特别的标准，只是时间刚好是碰到什么样的有趣的人，刚好是在这个时候出现。
That's right. We are politically, culturally agnostic.We just look for the most interesting programs we can get.
他们就是找有趣的人。
And I think what I most enjoy, I love this club, is that our events are really almost like a family. The people go there, they enjoy socializing before dinner. We all eat dinner together, family style. And then we have a wonderful speaker.who talks to us and maybe shows a slideshow or something like this. And everybody gets an opportunity to mix, to talk about it. If you're more interested in the topic, you can talk to the speaker afterwards. And it's just a very comfortable, easy atmosphere without any high pressure or political atmosphere.
巴特先生说他最喜欢这个俱乐部的地方就是像一个大家庭一样，每一次的活动呢都是从吃饭以前的这个社交活动啊，吃饭啊，听讲演讲啊，如果你有兴趣的话可以在演讲之后再单独的跟讲员谈话，大家都跟一家人一样，可以不断的交流，有任何问题都可以提出来，这是他们最最值得大家去参加的一个原因。
好，我们的节目马上要到尾声了，今天非常感谢西雅图中国俱乐部的主席 Fight 先生啊，就是巴特先生，做客我们西雅图中文电台的美国故事栏目。那么在节目的最后，巴特先生您是不是再给我们听众朋友讲一两句话，就是当然比如说为什么我们的听众朋友要去参加你们的俱乐部或者去听你们的讲座啊。
Because it's you'll always enjoy our speakers. It's without exception, we have everybody enjoys themselves and our dinners and a fascinating talk.
巴特先生说没有例外的，你永远会非常的欣赏我们的讲员，非常的享受我们这样子的活动。
那个您作为中国俱乐部的主席对中国俱乐部以后在中美之间的这个所起的作用有什么期待吗？
Being the president of the China Club, what do you think what you expect?What kind of role this club will play between the between China and U.S. the relationship?
Great question. We have evolved and will continue to evolve as there's more mainland influence in Seattle, as China and the U.S. Relationship continues to evolve, and we want to stay relevant and to change with the times.That's why we focus on getting speakers that talk about today's topics, today's things that are in the news today, and that makes us relevant and makes our programs interesting.
巴特先生说，中美关系的演变是他们非常注意的一件事情，所以他们呢要不时的改变，跟着这个趋势来演变，所有他们的活动都是聚焦于现在时事。最跟现在的时代最有关系的事情，这是他们中国俱乐部的目标，就是与时俱进。
好，我们感谢Bart Fight 先生光临我们的节目，也感谢你们中国西雅图中国俱乐部为中国中美之间的友好所做出的贡献，谢谢。
多谢你，多谢中国西雅图中文台。
美国故事栏目是由大中华实业有限公司 Great China Industries 赞助播出。
举办婚礼、生日宴会，请到海景大酒楼。
大型晚会、团体宴席，请到海景大酒楼。
面向 Lake Union 的海景大酒楼提供自500人的宴会大厅，是各类庆典的最佳场所。
难忘今宵尽在中国海景大酒楼。 China Harbor 的电话是206-286-1688 206-286-1688。
咱这么大的公司搬家可得选个良辰吉日，
搬家公司一定得喜庆，
找喜悦搬家啊。
别急，我用手机查一下哟，西雅图搬家头条显示就是喜悦。
喜悦搬家提供家庭、公司和全美的长途搬运。你看，网友评了，工人厚道，不乱收费。
喜悦搬家，您搬家的第一选择，让您的乔迁之喜喜上加喜。电话206-886-8686，206-886-8686。
糟糕，我忘了带钱包了，你能帮我买杯咖啡吗？
当然。嘿，你听说了吗？在2018年会加薪哎。
这是真的吗？
是的，从1月1日起，最低工资在华盛顿州将上升到11.5美元一小时。你可以致电866-219-7321了解更多详情。
好，那我现在就打电话，866-219-7321。哎，下一次要我买咖啡了。
大年初三看春晚，热热闹闹过大年。
由西雅图中文电台主办 ,CCTV 中学生频道协办的摩根茶2018西雅图华人春节晚会将于2018年2月18日下午2点和晚上6点半在 Renton 的宜家演艺中心演出两场。
晚会邀请到6位国家级、明星级的演员齐聚西雅图，包括东方歌舞团首席舞蹈演员曾明、辽宁芭蕾舞团首席演员王韵和焦阳、江苏昆剧院著名演员曹志威、2017世界中国小姐张雨绮，以及国家级京剧演员曹晨等参演。另有我要上春晚优胜选手以及西雅图知名演出团体和个人出演，精彩不容错过。
西雅图华人春节晚会是大西雅图地区最具代表性也是规格最高的群众性文艺演出，欢迎广大听众朋友们踊跃前往观看。
购票热线2066-619-8698，2066-619-8698，
或者登录中文电台网站 ChineseRadioSeattle.com 购票。